Auckland's Radio.
Now, anyone who saw the pictures and heard the stories, nobody can forget the devastating tsunami that occurred in Sri Lanka on Boxing Day in 2004. Nearly a quarter of a million people dead or missing and 2 million homeless across 11 countries. With me in the studio right now is Lynn Stanier. She also saw the pictures and she also heard the stories, but then, different to so many of us, she took action. Today, she runs a charity she founded called Their Future Today, and she is here to talk about it and also maybe make a request for some much-needed support. Good afternoon, Lynn. It's a privilege to meet you.
Afternoon.
Thank you very much for coming in. I'd love to hear how you got involved, because you actually had a relationship with Sri Lanka before the disaster, didn't you?
That's right, yes. My husband and I have got a travel agency in Lower Sunbury called 12 Tour Travel, and I specialised in Sri Lanka and the Maldives from 2001. So fell in love with Sri Lanka then, and then took cricket tours there and organised weddings and honeymoons and holidays and all that, yeah.
So it was a place of great happiness for you.
Absolutely, yeah.
Until. Now, when you heard about it, you weren't there at the time of the disaster, presumably.
Strangely, I cancelled a holiday there and I went to Australia instead. Yeah, but we had 35 clients in Sri Lanka at the time. And we just organised a cricket tour for Brighton College, actually, who returned 2 days before the tsunami happened.
So, and all your clients okay?
Yeah, everyone was fine.
Thank goodness. So what was the action you took? I said a few minutes ago, well, you saw the pictures, you heard the stories, you took action. What was the action you took?
Well, actually, it wasn't necessarily my action at first. It was my son who just graduated, and he wanted to go as a volunteer. So one day he just said, I booked myself a ticket, I'm going tomorrow. And I just thought, oh, I better go with him. So I went as well. That was it, yeah.
And it was that simple that did you – what information did you have that made you want to go?
Well, they were absolutely desperately crying out for volunteers, and obviously we had a couple of agents there and knew lots of the hotels and everything with the business, and so I just wanted to go and see what the situation was and how we could help, really.
Yeah. So when you went, what are your lasting memories of being there as a volunteer?
Well, it was shocking because... I mean, we moved a few bricks around for a couple of days in 38 degrees because there was no JCBs in the area. But actually, we then visited an orphanage, and that was when life changed in a moment for me, really.
Say more.
Well, what happened was, I left feeling, I could still smell it, I could still see it, I could still feel it, and... You know, when you've witnessed something that dramatic and seen so many children, little babies, really suffering, frightened, crying, arms up, begging to be held and comforted, it would have been harder, really, for me to have walked away doing nothing than trying to do something.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, how long were you there as a volunteer?
We were only there for about 10 days, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what were volunteers... I mean, you mentioned moving bricks. Is that the kind of work you were getting involved
well,
in?
Well, I mean, there was so much devastation for 3.5 hours that, driving down from Colombo, the roads, the trees, the buildings. I mean, it was just devastation wherever you looked, really.
That's probably a picture you've got in your mind forever.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So you came back.
So I came back and wanted to find out what was being done as a follow-up for these children, because there are about 4,500 orphans, more orphans, and the institution that I went to was a state-run government institution, which was absolutely dire. The conditions were so poor, no electricity, no water, there was just 6 babies in a cot. It was just... horrifying, and just all screaming to be fed. So I thought I'll contact all of the big charities and find out what they're going to do. And when I did, they said that they actually were a disaster fund and there was no sort of there were no plans for rebuilding.
This is the charities in this country.
Yeah, the DEC charities that we donated to.
Got it.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll just try and do a bit of fundraising myself and see where we go with that and spend it there directly.
I read on your website a story about one baby that you picked up and it kind of changed everything for you. Do you want to tell that story?
Yes, well, amidst all these screaming children, there was this tiny little baby screaming her head off. And I picked her up and she just stopped crying and looked at me. And it was actually in that moment that I felt that I'd helped her. And up to that point, I'd felt so overwhelmed by every person I'd met who had a story, and I wanted to help everybody but knew that obviously I couldn't. But when in that moment, and I just felt that I'd helped her, I just thought anything more I could do would be worthwhile. So that was it.
There must be, when you're in the middle of a situation like that, a feeling of helplessness. There's so many things to be done. Can I do anything? Can I achieve anything? But but you, through picking up that baby, clearly had a moment that changed you.
Yeah, I did. I just left that place just knowing that, you know, that I was going to do something, but okay. I just didn't in that moment know what.
How did you move from fundraising to having a very, very well-organised charity from the look of it? And first of all, the charity, we should say, is called Their Future Today, right?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. So a bit of fundraising suddenly becomes this very well-organised charity. How did that happen?
Well, I did a bit of fundraising and went back and bought some nappies and organised with the government that all the money I raised would be spent directly. And we made some improvements, put electricity and plumbing in and bought nappies and new bedding and we spent everything on toys and everything we could, loaded up lorries and took it there. And and then after that, I was actually given an opportunity to have a ball at Hampton Court House.
Oh, yeah.
And that was back in 2006. And then things changed because then we went from raising a small amount of money to then raising quite a few £1,000, which meant, you know, by 2008, with some more fundraising, we were able to do a restoration of that whole building. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to really see what the conditions were in other institutions and see, you know, how things could be improved.
Yeah. One word you're using there, and I caught onto it on your website as well, the word institution comes up a lot. Tell me what an institution is.
Yeah, well, an institution is, we know about orphanages. An institution really is more of a government state-run place, institution, where it is like a prison, and the conditions are just so basic and so poor. And really, you know, as the years have gone by, we've realised that actually, however good you try to make one of these places, and we employ house mothers and therapists and, you know, have improved the conditions there, but we can never get the standards high enough because we know that children need families and not institutions.
So this is an institution to place children that are separated from their families, either by choice in some cases because the families can't cope, or they've lost their families. Is that correct?
Yeah. And actually, over the time, we've actually found out that more than 80% of children in orphanages or institutions in Sri Lanka have parents who love and want their children, but they're just too poor to support them. So when we realised that poverty was the real cause of child abandonment, which it is, we then decided that what we needed to do was go to the real root of the problem, which is lack of education.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we started giving school books to children in the poor rural areas, because although education is free, without the books they can't go to school. And by giving the books, it changes the whole future, not just for themselves but for their whole families. And this year we've just donated 2,000 school children books. So that's it's very rewarding to do that.
And this reuniting of families, I have to tell you, if everybody's listening, go on to the website, theirfuturetoday.com, and watch the video on the homepage. It's a cartoon, but it is very, very powerful. About Amri, is that correct? The name of the kid is given, the name is Amri. And it talks through the story of this kid from separation from his mother to being reunited with his mother, which is massively powerful. For a cartoon, I was amazed. Is the impact it had on me today, just watching it. So, how do you fund all this?
How do we fund it? Well, through our ball mainly, which we've
got one coming up.
We've got one on Saturday coming up, which is actually going to be Serendipity in Sri Lanka, because we've never had a Sri Lankan themed ball yet, and this is
It's not in Sri Lanka; it's in Hampton Court.
It's in Hampton Court House on Saturday. Yeah. We still have a couple of tickets left, if somebody
can they get them off the website then?
They need to just send an email to the email address on the website.
So,
yeah,
email address on the website, and the website is theirfuturetoday.com if you'd like to come around the ball, and you'll give them all the details at the point they get in touch.
The details are all on the website.
Fantastic. What other ways can listeners help if they can't make the ball this Saturday? What else can they do?
Well, we've just been offered, we've been working with the Sri Lankan government for the last few years, and we've gained some trust and respect, and we've been trying to share knowledge about what's happening around the world where actually institutions are closing like they did in the UK in the end of the 1990s, because we know that scientific evidence proves the emotional and physical damage caused to children, and family care alternatives like foster care and kinship care is what is used. So so actually we have this amazing opportunity, and we have a pilot scheme that we're hoping to start immediately, but we need sponsors for children to actually sponsor a child to get them out of an institution and into foster care, into a family, which will basically give a child a life from an existence at the moment. And so we're looking for kind-hearted people that, you know, might make a small monthly donation. We're looking for teachers. We have we've opened a preschool last year. Now we have just under 100 children where we're trying to prevent abandonment in the community. So we're looking for people that might go and teach English. We're looking for physiotherapists because we've got lots of children in the institutions that have disabilities. And we're looking for volunteers here and in Sri Lanka. So anyone who's interested, please contact us. And
I think on your website there's also a donate button.
There is.
Which if they just want to help you in that way, if they're not a teacher or a physiotherapist can still get involved.
Yeah.
Gillian, I want to wish you lots of luck great, astonishing work. I'm so proud to have met you. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Just want to give you that information again from Lynn. Remarkable lady, remarkable work. The website is theirfuturetoday.com, and they're looking for sponsors for children. If you want to sponsor a child, give them a life, as she said. They're looking for teachers, particularly English teachers, physiotherapists, and volunteers in this country or to go to Sri Lanka. And you make contact for all of this by going through the website. Brooklyn's Radio.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with The Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.